We are concluding our series on the book of Colossians this morning. We began and we've done it for this entire month. And today we want to talk about Christ's supremacy in our homes. And this is kind of a touchy subject because it deals with our work, it deals with our relationships in our homes, and how we conduct ourselves in our God-given roles in our homes and in our places of work. We began by looking at the supremacy of Christ as is outlined for us in chapter 1 and verse 18, that in all things Christ may have the preeminence. He may be first place in everything in our lives. We have looked at different aspects of the Christian life moving forward, how we are to live our lives. And here we're going to break it down into this very practical element, how we live our lives. Now, you might be thinking, you know, I've got great grandchildren now. I don't have a husband. I may not have a wife. You know, I'm good. Every single person, whether you have children or not, every single person, whether married or not, can be an encouragement to those who are. Especially those who have gone before. Scriptural precedent lays out for us that the older are to teach the younger. That's how it works. And some of our college students that are sitting up here at the front, nice and attentive, y'all could learn from that, by the way. There's nothing scary down here. I'm just teasing with you. But most of them don't have any prospects for a spouse, no children, none of that. So they're sitting here going, well, what does this have to do with me? It has everything to do with you. Because you need to prepare ahead of time for what's going to happen when you do get married, when you do have children. And the rest of us need to be an encouragement to them as well. So regardless of your station in life, this is an important message for you, and it's an important message for us. And I want us to pay very close attention to what God says here, because when we get to some of the application aspects and the results of properly following these scriptures, we're going to see some stark contrast that may shock some of you. Would you pray with me as we begin? Holy Father, we thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us and this opportunity to worship. We're grateful, Father, that you speak to us from your word, and we ask you to speak this morning in a way that is clear and understandable. Help us to see the importance of how we conduct ourselves in our families, in our places of work, in our homes, how we address our parents, how we address our children, our spouses, and help us, Father, to do all things to your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I encourage you to turn in Colossians to beginning in chapter 1, verse 18, which was, of course, our starting point. And he, speaking of Christ, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. Down in chapter 3, verse 18 and following, wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they be discouraged. Bondservants, obey all things for your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there's no partiality. Verse 1 of chapter 4, masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Now, I skipped a verse right there at the beginning of this section. And I want you to think of everything we just talked about husbands, wives, children, bondservants, masters, etc. I want you to think about that in light of verse 17. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. As we look at this section, this is something very important. We're kind of coming with a summary in this short letter to the Colossian church. And it begins with the supremacy of Christ, but the supremacy of Christ permeates everything throughout this letter. It doesn't leave anything out, so much so that everything that we do must be done in His name. And we're to be thankful in that process. In our jobs and in our businesses, this is an important thing for us. Now, it talks about masters and bondservants, and that was a part of the economic reality 2,000 years ago. We don't have that today, but we have bosses and we have employees. And the same principles that are laid out here apply in our job settings now. Whether you are the owner, whether you're a manager, whether you're the guy sweeping the floors, it doesn't matter. You have a role to play recognizing your master up above. Workers, you are told to treat your job as if you are working for Jesus Christ Himself. But you don't know my boss. I know that boss, and I know what he told us to do. Whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't work as if you're doing it for eye service. Don't work in such a way that you're when they're watching, you do a good job, and when they're not, you just slack off. Because God sees that, and He's not pleased with it. Owners, bosses, managers, treat your workers fairly and justly. Because you yourself are also under the authority of the Lord. You have a boss, and He sees everything. So how you treat your employees, how you treat your bosses and fellow employees, all of those relationships are very important. Our jobs are an amazing opportunity to let the light of Jesus Christ shine. You can be a complainer, or you can be a doer. You can be a person that no matter what they're doing, you're smiling and you're doing your job as to the best of your ability, or you can be somebody that always looks like you drank a jar of pickle juice. You guys know, you've seen those people. You might be one of them. Let your light shine in your places of work. You know, the best way to reach the people where you work for Jesus Christ is live like Jesus Christ on your job. That's the best way to reach them, because they will see that. And when you do talk about your faith, they will see that it's genuine because of the way that you conduct yourselves. Children, and I know they're gone, but all of us are children. I became an orphan last June. I lost my last parent. Yes, I'm a grown man, but I'm still an orphan because I have no living parents. Many of you have been in that position long before me. But when you see the instruction about honoring your parents, that doesn't stop when they die. You honor them for the rest of your life by how you live your life and how you speak about your parents and how you treat them. They're not here, but you are a reflection of them. That's very important. Now, when we look at the sister passage in Ephesians, we get a little bit more information. These two letters were written side by side while Paul was in prison, and so there's a lot of parallels between them that help us in seeing the fuller story. When you look in chapter 6 of Ephesians, verses 1 through 3, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth." My dad used to tell me that verse 3 about the living long on the earth part was, if you do what you're supposed to do, your parents won't kill you. All kidding aside, honor, it doesn't say honor your living parents. It says honor your parents. I still love my parents as much or as more as I ever have. I appreciate them more that they're gone because I don't know how many times I've picked up the phone to call them both. Thinking, you know, I need to tell my dad about this. Oh, wait. I need to discuss this with my mom. Oh, wait. It happens. And many of you have experienced that. My mom experienced that. She lost her mom, my grandmother, in 1993. And up until right before my mom passed several years ago, she said, every Monday I called my mom, and to this day, every Monday I go to pick up the phone to call her again. Because it was their habit to call each other because they live separate from each other. Obey your parents in the Lord. This idea of in the Lord is following this pattern of Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. But what it also means is if your parents call for you to do something that violates the scripture, you don't do it. That's your only out. Otherwise, you are to obey your parents. Now, as most of you are aware, my dad was in the Marine Corps for 30 years, a lieutenant colonel, and my dad, it was yes, sir, until I saw him 3 days before he passed. It was still yes, sir, and no, sir. But you know, we could all learn something from that. It's important for us to do what is right, even when nobody's looking, and to give honor to whom honor is due. Your parents, for better or worse, whether they were godly or ungodly, whether your parents were ever married or they stayed married or they divorced or whatever, your parents are worthy of your honor. The fact that you're here this morning means they probably did at least one thing right. Now, my guess is they probably did more than one thing right. We have a tendency to focus on what they do wrong. But as children, we need to honor our parents. All ages of children, and we are all children. Every one of us. Some of us are just trapped in bodies that are a little bit older. But we're all children. And we need to honor our parents, whether they are with us or whether they have passed into eternity. Spouses, verses 18 and 19. This is a parallel to Ephesians chapter 5, which gives us a much longer reading. This is familiar territory to most of us, but let's look at it to understand what we're talking about here. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, and that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church, for we are all members of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her own husband. Wives, you are to submit as to the Lord. Here we go, Colossians 3:17, all over again. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. If your husband is asking you to do something that violates something that God has told us to do, you are not to submit to that. Think about that. Are you going to honor your husband in that moment? to do something that is sinful, or are you going to honor the Lord by rejecting that? These principles are applicable. We have guidelines to follow. Now, before we get too caught up on the submitting part, the previous verse to where this opened up, go back to verse 21, we are all to submit to one another in the fear of God. This submission does not make you a second-class citizen. It does not make you lesser. Jesus Christ, who was equal with God in eternity past, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped or held tightly to. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 and 6 tell us. But he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of man, so that he could die. Jesus, who was equal with God in creation, was in submission to his Father because he recognized the authority of his Father. Husbands and wives are equal, but there is a hierarchy that God has established. Wives, as this thing closes out, are to respect their husbands. By respecting the role of the husband as the spiritual leader in the household, you are giving honor to God. And you are adhering to whatever you do in word or in deed. Husbands, love as Christ loved his church. You are to love your wife. And how much did he love his church? The example given to us in Ephesians chapter 5, he died for his church. Now, some of you wives might be saying, I sure wish he'd hurry up and die for me. I kid. Mostly. Dying for your wife, though, doesn't necessarily mean that you're taking a bullet for her. It may be making your priorities her priorities. It may be doing what's best for her on occasion rather than what's best for you. That's dying to yourself also. Because remember, we as Christians, Romans chapter 12, verse 1, are living sacrifices. We continue in that model. Sacrificially giving yourselves, husbands. This is not about sitting on the sofa and barking orders. You got to submit to me. Bring me that drink. Bring me that food. That's not what this is talking about. That is an abuse of the text, and it has nothing to do with what God is talking about here. Your partners, treat each other right. Now, let's talk about parenting for just a moment, and this is where we're going to drop an anchor for the remainder of our sermon. John Flavel, recently I wrote read a quote of his, if you neglect to instruct your children in the way of holiness, do you think the devil will neglect to instruct them in the way of wickedness? That will get your attention. Your children will not be holy because you want them to be holy. They will be holy because you instructed them in the way of the Lord. That's why they will be holy. They've got to see not only your example, but they've got to hear your instruction. Parents, bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Fathers, you are the spiritual leaders of your house. Embrace that role. God doesn't give you an out. Be the spiritual leaders in your family. Why is that important? We're going to see in just a moment why that's important. From our scripture reading a few moments ago in Deuteronomy chapter 6, look at the instruction that God gives to his people as they come out of bondage and are preparing to leave the wilderness and enter into the land that was promised to Abraham. These words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Our job as fathers are an amazing opportunity, once again, to let our light shine. Just like in our careers, just like in our relationships. And don't forget, being a father is a job. It's work, and it's hard work. You got to let your light shine to your children. And you do that by looking at these precious situations with our kids. Statistics of faithful children and families. This survey has been done over and over again, and the statistics barely change every time that they are done. If a child is saved first in a family, if they're the first one to come to Christ, 3.5% of those families will become saved families. If the wife is saved first, 17% of the families will be saved. But if the husband is the first saved in the family, 93% of the families will be saved. Dads, husbands, it's on you. It's on you. God told us about it 1,500 years before Christ came. Paul writes about it 2,000 years ago, fathers. And I've seen it play out over and over and over again. Fathers, you've got to lead your families to Christ. You don't send them to Christ, you lead them there. You set the tone. You decide what is acceptable and what is not acceptable in your families. You decide the habits that your family will engage in when it comes to their spiritual welfare. You set the tone. You want to know why this country is such a mess? There's a lot of reasons, but one of the reasons are our fathers are despised by the media and by Hollywood, and they're told that they're no good, and the fathers are believing it, and they're stepping away from their responsibility, and you see the result in our society right now. And you bring that into the smaller community of the church. You want to know why kids disappear? First thing you need to look at is the father. That doesn't mean the father didn't do his job, because sometimes children make up their own mind. You notice it's not 100%. But the father has to be the spiritual leader of the family. Period. End of discussion. He's got to lead. I don't care how many bedtime stories your wife reads them. I don't care how many times she prays with them. I don't care how many times she brings them to vacation Bible school, to youth group, to Bible class, to church worship services. If you aren't leading that situation in your families, your family is teetering. And it's not because mom's not trying. It's because mom's trying to do a job she was never designed to do. Tats. Love your children. Do you want to see your children in heaven someday? Be the spiritual leader of your family. It's on us. We've got to do it. If you're not a dad yet, you better start praying now. Pray for strength. Pray for that right spouse that's going to support you in that role. And make up your mind now that no matter what, you're going to be a part of the body of Christ wherever you are. You're going to be a part of that, and your children are going to see that example and hear those words over and over again. Mothers, your support and your encouragement in your God-given role can never be overstated, ever. Encourage, don't badger, encourage your husbands to take the lead. We are ready to follow you. Please lead us into righteousness. Please lead us into holiness. Please help us. I don't know why it's the father is more important than the mom when it comes to what the children see. I don't know what it is. God made us. He wired us. He understands how we think. And he knows that the father's got to be the leader. But he also knows that the wife's got to be there side by side, having his back, encouraging him, and encouraging the children to look to their father. Moms, you are given a gift that men just don't have, and that is to nurture. Men can be nurturing, but not like a mom. Can't do it. Use that properly. Nurture and instruct your children. So I want to give you four principles, parents, for leading your family. Four principles. Number one, provide biblical leadership and guidance in your home. Provide biblical leadership and guidance in your home. Prepare your child for a future of submission to Jesus Christ and his superiority in all things. You have to prepare him or her for that. Now, here's a study on Sunday school attendance. Now I'm going to stop preaching and I'm going to start meddling. I didn't come up with these numbers. And this has been repeated over and over again, just like those previous statistics. You need to pay attention. When both parents attend Bible study in addition to Sunday service, 72% of their children will attend Bible study when they are grown. That 28% is scary, isn't it? But that 72% is encouraging. When only the father attends Sunday school, 55% of the children will attend when they are grown. It gets worse. When only the mother attends, only 15% of the children will attend Sunday school when they are grown. When neither parent attends, it drops to 6%. Sunday school, youth group, Gators for Christ, whatever ministries that we have that reach out to our youngest up to our grown children are only aids to what the mom and dad are doing at home. But they are necessary aids. Most of my foundational Bible knowledge came from Bible class teachers that I can't even remember. In Fredericksburg, Virginia, and Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and Montgomery, Alabama, and 29 Palms, California, and places all over the United States, because we weren't there long enough to really get to know anybody. But I knew when I went to Bible class, I was opening my Bible and I was learning. There's so much up here that I can't tell you where I learned it other than from the Bible, but I can't tell you who it was that showed it to me. I know my mom and my dad did the best they could. But that Sunday morning Bible class is important. It's important. Moms and dads, get your kids in Sunday school. Get them there. Because if they'll miss Sunday school, it becomes easier to miss worship assemblies. Get them there. Secondly, provide biblical instruction. Now, in Deuteronomy, where we looked a few moments ago, back up a couple of verses, and you have the Shema of the Jews. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. And these words which I command you, and we read that a few moments ago, I want you to look at this. Teach your children to love God. Teach your children that God's word is an ever-present reality in their lives. Remind them that these things are essential. They're not optional. The world is going to try their best to tear your family, your marriages, and your children to shreds. And the world gets bolder by the day in doing that. The only way to defend yourself is with the armor of God, the Word of God. Put it on you, put it on your children. Instruct them in those things. Number three, transfer responsibility to your kids over time. Help them to see the importance of growing and becoming independent in their faith. In Psalm 127, the psalmist writes to us in verses 3 through 5, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate." Think about an arrow. We're pulling back and we're sending our children into the future, an unknown future. Are you going to send them prepared or unprepared? And teach your children and show them what true love is. Don't talk to them about love. Show them love. Show them what it means to love your neighbor, to love God, to love your spouse, to love your enemy. Give your children the attention that they deserve. Go to the playground. Kids are over there. Mom or dad's doing this. Mommy, look at this. Just a minute. Daddy, watch me. Hang on. It's not how you raise your children. You be present as a parent. You show attention to your children. You listen to your children. Some of you may have seen me or may notice that when I'm out here after church and somebody brings up their grandkid or another one of our kids comes over to me, when they come to talk to me, the first thing I do is I get down on their level. And I look at them in the eyes. And I listen to what they're saying. Now, if I will do that for your kids that I hardly know, what should you be doing as a parent? Listen to your children. Train your children. Another thing our society is telling us to do is that the children are the head of the house. Have you noticed how commercials, the children are always the smart one and the parents are a bunch of idiots? You know, the children have it all figured out. Wrong. And I like all these social activism commercials where the kids are saying, show us how to do this and show us how to do that. How does a six-year-old even know that that exists? They don't. Parents, lead your children. Train your children. Your children are not going to train you. But unfortunately, in some cases, they are. And encourage your children. Encourage them to do what is right, to look to Christ, and to see His superiority as the only means of a successful life in this world. where we have concluded each week in Colossians chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. For you died, that's when we give our lives to Jesus Christ, being buried with him in baptism. When you died and your life is hidden with God, with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. When Christ, who is your life. Whatever aspect of your life you participate in, you put Christ first. He's supreme. He's preeminent. In him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily, chapter 2 and verse 9. Make Christ your life. You will not regret it. Help your children to see that. Your grandparents, your grandchildren. Great-grandparents, your great-grandchildren. Aunts, uncles, neighbors. Help these parents. Show them and encourage these parents. And when you see a parent doing something right, you better tell them that they did it right. Because the world's going to tell them every time they get it wrong. Let's be the family of God, and let's raise our children as mighty warriors and servants for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's got to start here, and it's got to start now, because we're losing ground daily, and we got to start picking it up. Is Christ your life? If he's not your life, do you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Are you willing to repent of your sins and confess his precious name, being buried in water for the remission of your sins, being raised to walk in a new life, a forgiven life, a life where now Christ will be your life, where he can be supreme in your life? Are you ready to do that today? Or you as a Christian, having already done those things, maybe you've fallen by the wayside, maybe as a parent, maybe as an employee, employer, maybe as a child in the way you treat your parents. Whatever your relationship is, God allows do-overs over and over again. He's ready and he's willing and he's more than able to help you through whatever circumstance you're in. If you need to obey the gospel and put on Christ in baptism, or if you need our prayers today, won't you make that known to us as together we stand and sing this morning?